We waited 30 years.
The wait is over.
But this season...
What happens now?
Champions of baseball.
It's time to defend the crown. This is World Champion Dodger Talk.
It's yours, Los Angeles.
Breaking down the World Champion LA Dodgers all season long.
So happy, man.
LA Dodgers baseball is brought to you by Chef Marito.
Seasoning partner of the Dodgers.
Navi and tankless water heaters.
For endless hot water, visit tanklessmadesimple.com.
And by Chevrolet.
Find new roads.
Don't miss an episode and get all the podcasts on the iHeartRadio app. Now your host... LA's favorite Dodger insider.
The city's favorite son.
Here's David Vassar.
The Angels defeat the Dodgers tonight by a final score of 9-2. Welcome to Dodger Talk live from Angel Stadium. That's right, I'm on the road technically with the Dodgers for these three games here in Anaheim. Unfortunately, the road trip continues to pile up losses. They are now 1-7 on this road trip after losing 3 out of 4 in Milwaukee, getting swept in Chicago, and now starting this three-game series with a loss here in Anaheim to the Angels, who were not playing much better these days. The Dodgers coming into the game had lost 13 of their last 17. The Angels came into this game losers of 5 in a row and 12 of their last 17. But the Dodgers got off on the wrong foot tonight. And, you know, I don't want to pin it on one person or one play, but when you're struggling the way the Dodgers have been struggling, you need to find a way to make positive things happen early on in games. And it looked like they had something going in the first inning against Griffin Canning, who couldn't find the strike zone. And when he did, guys were hitting the ball pretty hard, albeit foul. So that told you they were on his stuff tonight. And they let him off the hook two separate times in particular. The first time was in the first inning when the Dodgers had runners at first and second base with two outs and Will Smith at the plate. Corey Seager at second base gets picked off to end the inning. And that is just the way things have been going for the Dodgers during this stretch of them losing 14 of 18. And you could say all you want, we got to do better, we have to be better, we've got to get things going in our direction. The only way you do it is by the players doing it and being smarter and not making mistakes on the bases, not making mistakes in the field. Those are the type of mistakes that cost you when you're not swinging the bats well. And tonight, the Dodgers were 1-for-11 with runners in scoring position. So for me, how does a veteran like Corey Seager get picked off in that situation? Is he going to steal third base? He's not really known for his speed. So what's he doing there? It's two outs. Why are you so far off second base? And he got caught napping, and he got thrown out. And instead of having runners at first and second with Will Smith at the plate, who can handle the bat pretty well, all of a sudden the inning's over. And I'm sure in that dugout they're thinking, oh, here we go again. Here we go again. And yes, it went that way because the next inning the Dodgers only scratched across one run, and then the Angels came back for 4 in the second inning. So all of a sudden, you look up and the score is 4-1. And I've heard teams that are going through struggles like the Dodgers, it seems like every time you look up, you have two strikes on you, you're losing in the game, and that's why I thought it was vital for the Dodgers to get off to a good start in this game, to kind of wash away. They had a day off yesterday, kind of start with a fresh start here in Southern California at Angel Stadium. These guys had a chance to sleep in their own beds, kind of, yesterday, because Justin Turner let us know that guys got in pretty early in the morning after flying back from Chicago after a day game over there, and or a night game over there in Chicago. So, yeah, I felt like, you know, like I said, I don't want to pin it on one guy and I don't want to pin it on one play. But for me, momentum changes are big early in the game. And for a team that's struggling like the Dodgers, you can't afford to get picked off at second base. It's one thing for a rookie to get picked off, but a veteran, one of your best players to get picked off in that situation, that's a punch in the gut, in my opinion. 866-987-2570. Another inning that I felt that they let Griffin Canning off the hook was the fifth inning. They had something going again, but they were swinging at the first pitch against Canning. Five batters, five pitches. They all swung at the first pitch. And you expect that from Corey Seager, but then Justin Turner comes up and swings at the first pitch as well. So I'm not sure if that was a scouting report from the hitting coaches. Hey, get them early. Look for that first pitch. But that's what they were doing in the fifth inning, and they let the Angels off the hook in the fifth after a leadoff single or a one-out single by Gavin Lux, and then Mookie Betts hit a ground rule double, so Lux has to stop at third. That's another thing, you know, when things are going bad, things like that happen. The ball bounces over the short wall, and you don't score a run. Instead, you got second and third, but then you had Seager get struck out looking, he grounded out to the third baseman. He struck out looking in his next at-bat. Justin Turner also grounds out to the third baseman to end the threat. So those were the two innings that I thought the Dodgers had something cooking, and they let Canning off the hook tonight. 866-987-2570. I did like a couple of things tonight from the Dodgers. Number one, Chris Taylor, who's hitting .368 since the beginning of the month in a game that is well out of reach in the eighth inning. With one out, he stretches a single into a hustle double. I mean, you got to say a lot for a guy. And, you know, I'm not sure what the baseball unwritten rule is, but I barely saw any emotion from the Dodger dugout when you see a guy hustling in a 9-1 game. They, you know, tapped the top row of the dugout. But come on, guys. He's given his all in a blowout game, a little bit more energy there. And you got to come together as a group instead of just being individuals. So, you know, that was something I really liked. Edwin Uceta also came into a game that was out of reach and, you know, didn't give up any more runs in the final 2 1/3 innings that he pitched in the game tonight. So I thought those two were the highlights of the game, and also encouraging Mookie Betts starting to show the Mookie Betts that we saw all last year and have seen in his career, starting to feel better physically, he said a couple of nights ago. And the way he was swinging the bat tonight, you could tell he was 2-for-4 with a double and a home run tonight, plus he took a walk. So once Mookie gets going here, that definitely will help this Dodger offense. 866-987-2570. Let's go out to Nick in Whittier. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse, live from the Big A. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, Dave? Thank you for taking my call. First of all, yikes for tonight. And, I've been trying to get a hold of you for, 48 hours, because I do have a question about the extra inning rule. So what I noticed in the bottom of the ninth was Matt Duffy made the second out and Jake Mariznick made the third out. Why was Matt Duffy on second base to start the 10th inning? Is that batting out of order? Is that running out of order? It's a gray area, and I was really confused about that. Could they have called him out?
I believe in that game, Nick, it was the pitcher spot. They had made a switch, so they never have the pitcher go out there. You could choose any runner off the bench instead of having the pitcher run in that situation.
Wow, even though Mariznick made the blast out.
It might have been the pitcher spot when they made the switch after that.
Yeah, the pitcher did start off.
That was the pitcher spot. That's the pitcher spot, okay. And when it's the pitcher spot, the manager can choose any runner off the bench, which is kind of weird, right, Nick? Because if a pitcher can hit, why can't he run?
That's the thing that I'm talking about right now. It's just that these rules that they're having, it seems like it's getting in the way of actual real baseball, and it's been driving me up the wall with all these different things that they're doing. It's like, you know, I heard Rick Monday the other day say, oh, we're playing 9 innings. We're playing baseball, you know. We're finally playing baseball. So it was like, you know, it's just one of those things that
I'm not against the 7-inning doubleheaders, to be honest with you. I think that's a good change, I guess. But yeah, the rules are not very consistent, and that's I think something that bothers people that have been watching the game for a while. Thanks for the phone call, Nick. Appreciate it. Glad I can answer your question after desperately trying to get a hold of me for 48 hours. Nobody ever tries to get a hold of me for 48 straight hours. I'm honored. Let's go out to Woodland Hills. That's where I grew up. John, you're on Dodger Talk. What's up, John?
Hi, Dave. How are you?
Do people say that, John? Woodland Hills, home of David Vassay.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. Especially for some money.
Yeah, that's the only place.
Dave, all right, we got killed in all three categories tonight: starting pitching, hitting, and relief. And
what are you talking about? Joe Kelly got two outs and gave up four runs. How could you say that?
Well, but it was only 5-1 back then.
Oh, okay. But, yeah, you're right, John. It was a rough night again, all around.
And, it's still early in the season. People shouldn't panic. But to me, it doesn't seem like they're playing with any enthusiasm. They are, I don't know if it's because some of the guys that are playing are still dinged up a little bit. And I'm not going to assume that I'm smarter than Dave Roberts, because he's much smarter than me. But here's a suggestion, or, just a comment. The one thing I think that we haven't tried yet is shaking up the lineup order.
Yeah.
I don't know if Dave has thought about it, just putting together a different lineup. Maybe that might help.
I'm sure he's thought about it. I am sure he's thought about it. I guess the only thing that you could think of is maybe moving Muncy out of the cleanup spot, but he started to hit the ball better in the last game in Chicago, so you don't want to move him out of there if you feel like he's coming out of it. But, yeah, I'm sure he's thought about it, John. And unfortunately for Dave, he is going to have to change up the lineup tomorrow because the Dodgers lost one of their hottest hitters. I would say Pollock and Taylor are their two hottest hitters right now, and they lost A.J. Pollock in this game on that Mike Trout triple in that four-run sixth inning. And Dave Roberts said it's a grade one strain of his hamstring. He does have two hamstrings, so I'm assuming it's the left one because that's the one he was grabbing when he left the field. So that's it's good news that it's only a grade one strain, but those are at least 2 to 3 weeks. So they're without A.J. Pollock, who was the one Dodger that was having a really good road trip at the plate. So they're going to have to call up another outfielder. They ran out of outfielders in the game. They had to put Sheldon Noisy in left field because Matt Beatty was the DH tonight. So that is a huge loss for Pollock. And you wonder if it was bothering him earlier in the game, because there was a RBI double by Shohei Ohtani in the fifth inning to left field, and you would think A.J. Pollock would have been able to catch it. Instead, it went to the wall. So I was scratching my head at that. I was like, man, A.J. usually catches that, and it should have been caught. He's a former Gold Glove center fielder. And then in the sixth inning, right before the Trout RBI triple, he was coming on a sinking line drive, I guess, by Josh Rojas in the sixth inning. And he tried to make a basket catch towards his shoe tops, and it came up empty, and they scored it an RBI double instead of an error. And then later in that inning, that's where he came up with a bad left hamstring on the Trout triple. So I was wondering whether or not, after seeing him injure his left hamstring, whether or not that possibly could have been bothering him on those other two balls that he missed that he usually catches out there in left field. 866-987-2570. We're going to take a timeout here on Dodger Talk. When we come back, more of your phone calls, and we'll check in with Ned Coletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. Dodgers fall to the Angels tonight, 9-2 at the Big A on AM 570 LA Sports.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Fall to the Angels tonight, 9-2. Griffin Canning, the winning pitcher. Julio Urias takes the loss, and that ends a consecutive start streak for Julio without a loss. He went 21 consecutive starts dating back to April of 2019 without losing a start. That's the longest in Dodger history. It ties Clayton Kershaw for the most starts without a loss. Kershaw went 21 consecutive starts from July of 2018 to June of 2019 without losing a start. I mean, these days, starting pitchers are not as involved in the wins and losses of games, but still, it's impressive. Kershaw was at 11-0 during that streak. Julio was 8-0 before taking the loss tonight, giving up 5 earned runs in 5 innings. 866-987-2570 is the phone number. Let's check in with Ned Colletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. And Ned, a lot of Dodger fans here at Angel Stadium tonight. Unfortunately, they go home disappointed, and it just feels like the Dodgers can't get out of their own way.
No, another night of struggle, especially with runners in scoring position. 1-for-11 tonight, 10 runners left on base. They had second and third on 4 different occasions, including, I thought, a really key part of the game in the fifth there where Seager and Turner were both hitting with runners on second and third. You know, you get a hit right there, suddenly things change. You get some momentum, you get some confidence back, but did not happen tonight. Again, a tough loss. This loss different, though, than some of the other ones, because this one, from about the middle of the game on, Anaheim just kept pulling away.
And you know, Ned, when things are not going your way, you got to make your own breaks, and it's always nice if you have an opportunity early on to capitalize on it. And I thought Corey Seager getting picked off at second base in the very first inning with Will Smith at the plate with 2 runners on, they had Griffin Canning on the ropes. They were pressuring him, and that, to me, was a punch in the gut, and it's just like bringing back the same vibes from the Midwest.
Well, the way the game is played, you cannot be given up 90 feet through defensive misplays. You can't be given the other team's offense 4 outs in an inning, and you can't be taking the bat out of somebody's hands when you got a runner in scoring position, like you just laid out there. Those are key plays. Those are momentum changers. Everybody knows how good the Dodgers are, but the Dodgers right now are vulnerable, and so when the opposition sees a chance to take advantage of a situation where in the past there was hardly ever a chance to take advantage of a situation, they had no chance. So now that they get a chance once in a while, you see him starting to capitalize and taking it from there. You know, there's a lot of different things that went on tonight. You know, the pitch that Upton hit out, the pitch before that was a borderline strike that was called for a ball, changed the entire at bat. Julio goes from a high fastball, now to a pitch right down the middle of the plate, home run, difference in the game. But all these little things, they add up, and they've been adding up in the wrong column for the Dodgers.
I thought a good sign for the Dodgers was Mookie Betts, who does really well here at Angel Stadium. He had a double. He homered in his last at-bat. That's a good sign, especially since he said physically it's the best he's felt in a while.
Yeah, it's interesting to say him talk about the physicalness of it, because he did not look right, but he was really quick through the zone. Both the double inside the line, that was a ground rule double, then the home run to left center field. When you look back at those pitches, really quick through the zone, and that's what we're accustomed to seeing. You know, you look at the lineup, and we said it for many times, that one of the cool parts of this lineup was that there was not one player that you needed to depend on, that it was that deep and that talented. But I do think that when you go through a struggle like this, you need some of those guys at the top to come through. And tonight, the guys at the top for the Dodgers did not come through a lot, and the go on the other side for Anaheim, they came through. The top 4 guys for Anaheim, they really put some runs up.
And I think a lot of people, Ned, are going to gloss over the injury to A.J. Pollock, but the fact is he was having the best road trip of any Dodger. He was the hottest hitter, and now he's got a left hamstring issue. He's going to be out for at least a couple of weeks. He was the one guy actually swinging the bat well, especially at the bottom half of the Dodger order. That's going to be a tough one to overcome.
He is a tough loss. You know, when it's he's another right-handed bat, too. And, you know, they could use another right-handed bat before you even lost A.J. Pollock. So I think it's kind of at least a double loss, maybe a triple loss, because he plays good defense. So, you know, you've got him out of the lineup now for some period of time. It's not something that you can play halfway on. It's not something you can just take a day or two typically if it's more than a cramp and it's a hamstring, and it sounds like it is. Like you said, that's going to take some time, and you're going to have to play through it again. Yet again, you're going to have more players out, and it's been a tough road. But, you know, losing him and losing another right-handed bat, that's just another thing the Dodgers got to overcome.
Ned Coletti is joining us here on Dodger Talk live from Angel Stadium. Ned, the Angels showed a tribute to Albert Pujols the day after they designated him for assignment. You've been in the big chair before, so how difficult of a decision do you think that is to release a future Hall of Famer and a guy that, you know, the Angels brought in 10 years ago to celebrate a lot of big milestones in his career? Can you take us through any of that?
Well, it's never easy, and I've had to do it in my career, and you know, you're always hoping that somebody of that talent decides on their own that they're going to take it to the house, like Greg Maddux said after 2008 season. You know, it would have pained me terrifically to have to tell Greg that we're going to have to designate him for a second. I can't even imagine saying those words. But a guy like Albert, you know, it's tough to do. I think it gets a little bit easier when it's a different general manager that is making part of that decision. I'm sure ownership had a lot to do with that decision too, but it's a little bit different dynamic. And, you know, I think he can still do some good for some team. I think he can still be a valuable bat off the bench, valuable pinch hitter. And when he walks in the room, everybody knows who he is. And can he do what he did in the prime of his career? No, not close. Can he run a lot? No, not really. But can he still hit a little bit? Yeah, I think he can still hit a little bit. And be curious to see what happens in the next couple of days with him. But whether he plays again or not, you're talking about one of the great careers in the game, 667 home runs, and somebody who was drafted out of a junior college. Not many players come out of a JC and have the career that he had.
Yeah, his first year in the major leagues was Mark McGwire's last year in the major leagues. That's how long he's been around, one of the greatest right-handed hitters of all time. Ned, you've seen a lot too, so thanks a lot for jumping on with us, and hopefully when we talk tomorrow, Clayton Kershaw will have his fifth win of the season.
Better days are ahead, David. Take care.
Hey, they can't get worse, I'll tell you that. Maybe they can. Who knows? You've seen worse, but yeah, I'm with you, Ned. Better days ahead. There he goes, Ned Coletti from the Sportsnet LA studios. All right, we were talking about Mookie Betts. Here was his home run in the ninth inning, his ninth of his career here at Angel Stadium.
Which certainly we did not see last year, the 1-2. And there's a fly ball to left center field, and Mookie Betts on command. It's a home run. As we were saying, for Betts, his fourth home run of the year. So he's had two good swings tonight.
And that is Mookie Betts' ninth home run of his career in only 21 games played here at Angel Stadium. Coming into tonight's game, Mookie has done well here at the Big A. He was hitting .305 with an OPS of over 1,000 in only 20 games. So he added on to that in the ninth inning, and he also had a double as well, a ground rule double. If it was a regular double, he would have had a second RBI, but the short wall there, similar to Dodger Stadium, down down the left and right field lines. It hopped over, and he was stranded at second base along with Will Smith. Every season, Daniel's Jewelers gives fans the chance to win a $50 gift card for guessing the correct number of home runs. For your chance to play, visit am570lasports.com and use the keyword home run for your chance to enter this season. It was Mookie and Gavin Lux that were stranded at second and third base in the fifth inning, where the Dodgers sent five batters up and they only saw five pitches from Griffin Canning. Let's go out to Rocky in L.A. You're on Dodger Talk with David Vasse. Hi, Rocky.
Hey, David. So, a couple of things. And this is not because they're losing. This is not because the Dodgers are losing. This has been going on all season. You can, and I know that he can actually back or Jackson's coming back, but the one thing that this front office consistently seems to fail, or they do fail, that seems to, they fail to take into consideration intangibles, things that don't show up in the box score. The Dodgers, in all group dynamic situations, I ran a non-profit organization for more than a decade, focused on leadership with young people, and organizations take on the personality of the person at the top. And Dave Roberts, he's been very successful in winning divisions and independents in the championship. Probably should have been two with the Astros. Should have been two with the Astros cheating. That being said, this team looks very boring. They look like a bunch of people going out to an insurance convention. They don't look like they have a lot of passion. There's no joy. Whether they were winning or not, yeah, they have the dunked on little things they do, but their general body language seems to be very lacking. And in Spanish, it's called ánimo, passion, desire. And you just don't see it in this team. They don't look like if they're driven to a championship. And we need to stop saying they're the champions. This team is not the champion. This team is a third-place team that hasn't won a championship. And we talked about this last time I called in. This team has some champions on it, but a good number of them were on other teams or in the farm system. So let's get over
they
that.
Were? The majority of the guys were on the team last year.
Hey,
Rocky, let me just correct you. I respect what you say, and to a certain extent it is true, but I will say this. There's not much to smile about when you're losing 13 of 17. When your offense isn't going, I mean, that's the typical thing for everybody to say is that there's no life, no energy. Well, when you're striking out and you're making outs on the bases and not getting hits with runners in scoring position, it's going to appear that the team has no energy. But, you know, once they start hitting again and they start scoring runs, I think that'll change your perception of what's going on.
How many times have we seen, even not picking on one person?
Hey, look, Rocky, I'm agreeing with you to a certain extent. I was looking in that dugout all night because I don't have the I haven't had the opportunity to look in that dugout the entire road trip. And what I see is, yeah, a lot of guys that are searching. They're trying to figure out the answer on their own, and they've got to be able to come together to figure out that answer as a group, and not just as individuals. So you got to come together as a group to find the answer for the struggles that have been going on. And, hey, I told Justin Turner yesterday, you might want to go the Phil Jackson route, get some sage and burn it in the clubhouse and go to every locker like Phil used to when things were going bad for the Lakers and the Chicago Bulls. You know, sometimes something like that is, you know, if you watch The Last Dance, the players on those teams would say, yeah, we're looking at them. And did the incense or the sage really do anything? No, but it kind of puts you in a different mind frame. So I don't know. I'd be happy to do that for them. I think one of the players should bring in some incense or some sage tomorrow. Get some good mojo going on in that clubhouse because it seems like nothing's going their way. So nothing else has really worked here in the last, 15, 16 games? Why not do something that helps your mental space more than just looking at an iPad and looking at video of your hitting mechanics? That only goes so far. And, you know, last year, the Dodgers and every other team in baseball had limited access to in-game video last year because of the COVID protocols. And a lot of guys on this team did pretty well without that video, including the World Series MVP, Corey Seager. He didn't need the video. He didn't need to be staring at that iPad the entire game. Let it flow, man. You can hit. You don't need that iPad. So that's just my two cents as we close it up here from Angel Stadium. Tomorrow, Clayton Kershaw will be on the mound for the Dodgers against Dylan Bundy. You may be saying, Kershaw, didn't he just pitch in Chicago 3 days ago? You're right, he did, but he only threw 39 pitches in one inning. And I will say, pump the brakes on calling that a bullpen session. Pitching in a game against major league hitters is not a bullpen session. It was just an abbreviated start. So it makes sense to bring him back, and hopefully he will do better than what he did at Wrigley Field. I fully expect him to, because the great ones, they usually don't have two straight starts where they only pitch one inning. So I guess that's the safest bet tomorrow. I guarantee you Kershaw will go at least two innings tomorrow. Dylan Bundy will be on the mound for the Angels. He is 0-3 with an ERA of 4. Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck begins at 5 o'clock with first pitch at 6:07. Thanks to Colin Yee back at our Burbank studios. Thanks to Dwayne McDonald out at Dodger Stadium. And thanks to you for listening. In case you missed any of the show, you could podcast it on the iHeartRadio app or AM570LASports.com. Once again, the final score from Angel Stadium. The Halos defeat the Dodgers 9-2. Have a great night. See ya.